check it out now. No doubt now.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a number game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, at Game Plus. It is Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn is here as well. Good morning to you, Jason. How are you? How are you, by the way?
Good, thanks, Gil. Happy Monday morning.
I couldn't go with how are you. I couldn't decide between how are you and how you doing, and that's what came out of my mouth.
It's good on all accounts.
This is Guessing Lines, Week 11 in the NFL. That's what we're here for this morning. Of course, we'll briefly touch on Dustin Johnson's amazing coronation at the Masters. Two-day coronation. The entire weekend was that. For a Hall of Fame golfer who got it done with the green jacket this weekend. We'll talk about that when it comes up, sort of organically. Congratulations to everybody who had DJ with their bets. A record 20 under par at Augusta. Never been done before. His second major of his career. And, of course, the NFL. We'll, if you're just landing on this show for the first time, we talk about the upcoming week lines. I've been in a cocoon. This is a tribute to the old Stardust radio show of the same name. I've been in a cocoon since last night. I don't know the lines. I guess them. Chrissy Andrews from the South Point Sportsbook, the director of that sportsbook, right here behind us, so the tip of the strip. He tells us what he's going to post after the show, right after the show. And within that exercise, we got ourselves some value. And last week, what was the line that I thought was the most ridiculous? Was Cleveland. And yeah, that should have covered.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that and the Arizona endings. Because I think that is those are obviously the two headlines from a betting standpoint. Let's bring him in, my mishpucha, Chris Andrews. Good morning, Chris.
What's going on, Gilly?
I got questions for you. One, let's start it up. First of all, congratulations. You have four survivor pools that are still four survivor entries. You and your partner that are still available. You and your partner or partners, plural.
Oh, I got a bunch of partners. We put in a bunch of stuff all over the place. So it's like I got to win one of these to break even. So yeah, we got a lot of money invested.
But you are in the circle one, right, with four entries left.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, that'll if we win that one, that'll pay a few bills. So, you know.
So we went from 310 to 301. Another.
I know.
Yeah. The gauntlet begins now. But how did you play it this weekend? Did you have all four on one team?
No. We had three. God, I mean, we had three with Green Bay, which made us sweat.
Yeah.
And then we had one with the Saints.
Okay. They all got through. Now here's my question from a bookmaking standpoint. That game last night, as we're watching Baltimore, New England, and New England ends up winning it outright. I don't know how, you know, it's like, it's amazing how it always works out for books in the end. That's what it seems like. But a Sunday night game, you probably weren't having the best week, I would imagine. And then that happens. No. How big of a decision was that for you?
Oh, it was big. Yeah, it was big. Winning that game, we wound up not, I mean, we won for the day and not like a great number, but like an okay number. If we'd lost that game, it would have been really bad. So, but we went into it and I said, man, we need a miracle here. Cause I didn't know New England could beat them. You know, I really didn't. But we got it, you know, and it was nice. It kind of salvaged the weekend because Saturday was not very good at all.
Yeah.
And we weren't looking very good going into Sunday night, but that was a big win for us.
Great game plan by Belichick. Weather helped.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could have said that if the Ravens were up, the weather would have helped them too, probably. So just a great game plan from start to finish for the Patriots. Patriots win it 23-17 as outright 7-point dogs. They win it outright, that is. And that's huge for books. Let's start with Thursday because there's so much to get into from yesterday. As we're doing this, by the way, for week 11, for those who are just here for the first time, we, of course, go back through all the shenanigans, betting and otherwise, in week 10. What is Thursday night?
Good game. Cardinals at the Seahawks.
Oh, that is a good game. Cardinals 6-3, Seahawks 6-3. Rams are also 6-3 in the NFC West. Niners not so much. Not their fault. Huge Thursday game. Arizona wins yesterday on the Hail Mary. I guess people are calling it the Hail Murray. Hail Mary from Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins, 43 yards with 2 seconds left on the clock. And that beats the Bills yesterday in dramatic fashion after the Bills had scored with just over 30 seconds left. I believe with 34 seconds left, Stephon Diggs scored. And Stephon Diggs was on the sideline doing a whole bunch of me, look at me. That's my translation of what I saw. 32-30, though, the Cardinals hook it up on the Murray to Hopkins play. By the way, Bill O'Brien had no need for DeAndre Hopkins. Just want to point that out. So if you had the Bills plus 2.5, you end up, by the way, it's Gil Alexander and Chris Andrews right here on the Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo's Link of Game Plus, guessing lines for Week 11, looking back at Week 10. If you had the Bills plus 2.5, you end up winning. If you have the Cardinals minus 2.5, you end up losing. The 2 is a push. And the reason for the push here is that when the touchdown was scored with just 2 ticks of the clock left and the Cardinals go up 32-30, Cliff Kingsbury and staff decided we are not going to kick an extra point. We are going to line up in a 2-point conversion formation, and we're just going to take a knee. And that is a genius move. I know that it hurt some gamblers and it helped others. But the only way with 2 seconds left on the clock that you can get beat in that situation, or you can get beat, is if they block the kick, return it for 2 points, and then beat you in overtime. So just take the knee. I totally get that move. Now, there was a notion in my head that Kingsbury just lucked into it, and I was like, does he think this is a time down? Like, there was a little of that in my head, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I think he knew what he was doing. So that one I endorse. We'll get to the Cleveland Browns one later because I have a different opinion on that. But Kyler Murray, 22 of 32 for 245, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, sacked 3 times, 11 carries for 61 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the ground. He's in the MVP conversation, everybody. He's got to be. First quarterback with a touchdown in 5 straight games since 1956. Hopkins ends up 7 for 127 and a touchdown. Drake, 16 for 100, 453 total yards for the Cardinals in victory. And then there's Seattle. And I don't think Russell Wilson is really in the MVP conversation anymore. The Seahawks have lost 3 of 4 since starting 5-0. Wilson was 23 of 38 for 249. But no touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked 6 times. He was 8 for 60 on the ground. The Seahawks have 10 turnovers in their last 4 games, including 3 yesterday. The third was a fumble lost by Wilson. They were -2 in turnovers in their loss yesterday to the Rams, 23-16. It was a bad spot for the Seahawks, though. The Rams had a couple weeks. If Sean McVay couldn't have schemed 2 weeks to beat that defense, I'm not sure if we could call him a genius anymore. That was my buddy Matt Brown's comment. I agree with that. But in the end, for me, Russell Wilson, another really bad pick yesterday. That one at the end of the second quarter when they were down 7 and he could have run for the first down. He threw it in the end zone and it was picked. Just really uncharacteristic plays. But it's Arizona at Seattle on a short week. And so getting finally to the guess, I think it's Seattle, not quite a field goal. I'd say Seattle -2.5.
Gilly,
yeah.
What's our T-shirts going to come out?
I like your number better.
I like
better.
Your number better. it's 3 with juice on the favorite.
Wow.
And I see 1.5 with juice on the dog. My numbers come to pick them. However, and this is purely anecdotal. I wish I should have been keeping track of this for years. In a shortened weekend like this, I prefer a veteran team. I think home field might mean a little something, and I'm going to get into that in a second. I like a veteran team, a veteran quarterback, you know, and I'm going to be the first to admit I was very late to the Murray party. He's really good, and I had my serious doubts about him, but this kid's good. However, like I said, he's still, you know, young quarterback. I still don't like their coach. I don't know if he lucked into that non-extra point or not, but that was another thing that really helped the books, by the way.
Yeah.
But, you know, Russell Wilson not playing very good ball. So I have these two teams equal. I would not go to 3, which is really what it is. It's 3 and juice. I'm going to open 3 flat, and they're going to probably bet me Seattle. I mean, I'm sure they'll bet me Seattle, which I'm certainly okay with. But like I said, even though I make power rating wise, make the game pick them, I give Seattle a little bit of a nod because of, you know, the coach and the quarterback. And when it comes to Russell Wilson, they're really asking a lot of him. And yesterday, Jalen Ramsey was a cornerback, really shut down DK Metcalf. And I think when you get in that situation, now, not too many guys are going to be able to do that, by the way. But they're really asking Wilson to do an awful lot. And it came back to haunt them yesterday. It's maybe come back to haunt them a couple times in the last couple weeks, because Wilson has not looked that good. And, you know, for years I've been saying I hate rooting against this guy. But yesterday, you know, we kind of needed to beat him, and we did. You know, but he's not playing real well right now. I got his QBR from yesterday, 31.1. That's one of the lowest I remember out of him, because, you know, I love the guy. I talk about him all the time. He's terrific. But, you know, I'm going to open three. I think they'll lay it to me. And like I said, I'm fine with that. But I do kind of like your number better, to be honest with you.
But you got helped by that kneel down, and I'm sure you got helped by the other one that's coming up in the Cleveland game. What is next? Sunday morning.
Speaking of Cleveland.
Oh, there you go.
Philly at Cleveland.
By the way, how great was the 5 early games, 6 late games thing yesterday?
Great.
Oh, so great. Good. What is it this coming week? Are we reverting back to the norm, though?
Yeah.
7-4.
7-4.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're getting there. We're getting there. Yeah. That was a great weekend where college football cooperated in terms of not being a really sexy schedule, having 15 postponements or cancellation, and then Dustin Johnson having the decency to run away with the Masters, so there wasn't much to watch there either. And the NFL accommodating it with 5 early games, and 5 that weren't of the sexiest matchups, right? All the good ones were in the afternoon, just from a fan standpoint. What was the game with Cleveland again? Who was it?
Philly at Cleveland.
Oh, boy. Philly, the NFC East leading Philadelphia Eagles now at 3-5-1. Mm-hmm. They lose to the Giants. A lot of money came in on the Eagles. Eagles ended up as a 4.5-point closing favorite. They lose 27-17. Broke an 8-game winning streak against the Giants. The Giants hadn't beaten them since 2016. Carson Wentz, 21-37, 208, no touchdowns, no picks, and there's the sacks. 3 sacks. Man, does he get sacked a lot this year. 0-9 on third down. The Eagles were 0-9 on third down. That's 0-9, 1-3 on fourth. First game for the Eagles franchise since 2004 without a third down conversion. Think about that. 16 years they've gone without getting a third down conversion. They had 11 penalties for 74 yards. And then in one of these, I mean, this is really the theme of yesterday. Analytics gone bad. Wentz and the Eagles go for 2 down 21-17 in the third quarter. But can we please stop?
Yeah, what's that?
Can we please stop with this? It's so funny how we can – anything can be justified. But in that moment, you know, because you can take it to, you know, chess plays forward and be like, well, yeah, but if they end up with the field goal and blah, 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 you'll still be – you know, no. Just cut it to 3. What are we doing here? It's the third quarter, for God's sakes. So they don't get it, by the way. Not that it would have mattered, perhaps, in the end. But it's just, you know, they went for 2 earlier. Okay, that cut it to, to a 3-point game. But then on this one, you're not going to go for a 1 to cut it to a 3-point game? I don't understand anymore. So Philly loses, but they still lead the NFC East at 3-5-1. Again, a division that I say to folks, why would you want to win this and have a draft pick at least 9 or 10 picks worse than you would if you don't. Then there's the Browns. The Browns beat the Texans, and they beat them by the final score of 10-7. And Baker Mayfield was 12 of 20 for 132, no touchdowns, no picks, sacked once, 132 yards passing. They got it done on the ground, as they should have in that weather. Nick Chubb, 19 for 126 and a touchdown. Kareem Hunt, 19 for 104. But obviously the headline of this game is it's 10-7, and Chubb on a scamper from the Browns' own 40-yard line, full sprint, instead of going the full 60, he goes 59 and makes a hard left out of bounds at the 1 in the clear with under a minute left. So Cleveland -3 ends up pushing. Cleveland -3.5 is a loss. Houston +3.5 is a win. They kneeled twice after that to preserve the 10-7 win. Now, unlike the Kingsbury play, let me just say this. This is like the Todd Gurley thing against the Packers a few years back, or a couple years ago. I don't even remember now. A couple years ago. Where in the case of Gurley with the Packers, if Gurley goes into the end zone and they kick the extra point, it's still a 9-point lead, I think, with less than 2 minutes or less than – it was definitely less than 2 minutes against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. okay, it's Aaron Rodgers. There might be a little time on the clock where he could do something. Maybe you could make the case for that, even though it's two scores. I still have my doubts. This one yesterday, you are essentially turning a 99.9% win probability into 100%. I get it. It's 100%. Okay, I'm not going to go nuts. But what are we doing? Really, what are we? These games are tough enough to beat betting normally. And he goes out of bounds like that, and you're just like, okay, wow. So this makes betting on the NFL even harder now, that guys have these ideas in their head like, okay, everybody's telling me I should go out of bounds. By the way, that's what Chubb claimed. But here's Dave Purdom at ESPN.com. He said that at William Hill, 89% of the money bet on the point spread was on Cleveland, according to data reported by the bookmaker an hour before kickoff. Jeff Stoneback over at BetMGM in Nevada. Texans covering the spread produced a mid-six-figure swing in favor of the house and a collective moan from the crowd at bettors at the Mirage. DraftKings reported taking significantly more money on the Browns than the Texans. Action on Cleveland resulted in what DraftKings sportsbook director Johnny Avello characterized as, quote, a pretty sizable swing, unquote. Johnny's never committal on that stuff. ESPN's win probability metric showed Cleveland had a greater than 99.9% chance of winning, whether Chubb scored or not at that point. And Cleveland coach Kevin Stefanski said he wouldn't have gotten mad at Chubb had he scored, but that he had gave Chubb the team's code phrase, no moss, instructing him to go down after a first down and not score. By the way, no moss, of course, made famous by Roberto Duran, hands of stone, manos de piedra, in his rematch with Ray Leonard, when Ray Leonard mugged him, bolo punched him. Eighth round TKO in their rematch. Sorry, I'm a Ray Leonard fan. I was getting excited there for a second.
Your DC roots are showing.
Yeah, sorry, that's good. I got carried away.
We're on football. That was 20-some years ago.
I'm sorry. Pardon me. So what was the game anyway? I mean, so let's get back. Philadelphia, Cleveland.
I'll say super quick. It's worth noting that game went down, was bet down from 54 to 45.5 and still went way under. Cleveland windy games. Yeah. That's 2 weeks in a row.
And didn't compare at all to the weather in New England last night, which was a monsoon. I'll say Cleveland -3, but man, these decisions that some teams are making at the ends of games, Chrissy, they seem, how can I put this, almost like they're trying to do what they think is smart, not actually knowing what they're doing.
You're reading too many books. You know, I'm a big reader, but you know, let's draw the line at some point. You know, not everything is a conspiracy. Not everything you do is analytically correct. And I would say that about Philly. Once again, Gilly, here we go with the same theme. I like your number better. My power ratings come to 2. I'm not enamored with Cleveland, and a lot of it is Baker Mayfield, I hate to say. But I see 3.5 juice on the dog, 3 juice on the favorite. You know, either way you go here, that's the way they're going to bet you. I'm going to open 3 and definitely take a bet. You know, not that I really like Philly. Matter of fact, I have a number here that I want to quote from Paul Hembikides. And he goes on Twitter, Paul Hembo, H-E-M-B-O, Paul Hembo on Twitter. He's a producer at ESPN, and he and I have exchanged a couple of direct messages on Twitter. Anyway, Carson Wentz has 6 games with a QBR under 50. Leads the NFL. I mean, we got to stop making excuses for this guy. And I know we're talking about injuries and all that other stuff. Baker Mayfield has 4. You know, but Wentz is clearly the favorite. And there's a couple other guys. We might get to a couple of them later on. I don't want to go through the whole list right now. But go to Hall, excuse me, Paul Hembikides, Paul Hembo on Twitter. He's a great follow. A lot of great little stats, little tidbits that you might not pick up on. But like I said, I'm not crazy about Philly either. My numbers come to 2. I'm going to open 3, and they'll probably lay it to me. But it's one of those. If I open 3.5, they'd take it. If I open 3, they're going to lay it. I'm going to open 3, definitely take a bet. I just think it's going to be a tight game. I'm not crazy about the way Cleveland's playing either myself. So,
yeah, for sure. And by the way, Eagles 1.5 game lead still in the NFC.
Yeah.
So they can still absorb, you know, some of this. And there was that prop over there at was it DraftKings that they had the NFC East winner? They had this up early in the season. I'm not sure if it's still up there. 7.5 wins for the NFC East winner, and the under was plus money, and the plus money came down. But man, right now to think a team could get to 8 wins, like Philly would have to go 5-2 the rest of the way. That ain't happening. There's no way.
Yeah.
They may not get to 7.
What the Giants have to go?
Giants have to go 6-1. Is that right?
Yeah, they're playing some good football. They ain't going 6-1. I got news for you.
No, yeah, Giants would have to go 6-1. Yeah, they'd have to go 8-8. They'd have to go 6-1.
Yeah.
And then you take a team like, what is it? So they're the Giants are 3-7. No, pardon me. They'd have to go 5-1. Pardon me. Giants would have to go 5-1.
Giants have a bye this week.
Yeah.
And they're 7-3 against the spread. They're surprisingly good against
the spread. Yeah, they ain't going 5-1, though.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Dallas and Washington would both have to go 6-1. Good luck to you. Yeah. Not good. All right. We'll come back. More guessing lines. It's all brought Skill Alexander. It's Chris Andrews, the sportsbook director here at the South Point Hotel Casino. Chrissy, what's next on Sunday morning?
Another pretty good one. Atlanta, New Orleans, but we have some question marks for New Orleans, of course.
Yeah, so this will have to be if Drew Brees plays line or if he doesn't line.
Right.
Brees yesterday.
And I
yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to interrupt you and say I see no lines on this game.
Oh.
So, or the next one either. So,
okay.
You know, save a little time on some of these.
All right. Well, Atlanta's off a bye, so we don't have anything to say about the 3-6 Falcons. New Orleans does beat the Niners yesterday. They do cover. They cover 27-13 was the final score. It was a 10 or 9.5 point closing number. They cover largely because they got 2 muffed punts from the Niners.
Yeah.
So
they didn't look that good.
Yeah. But they do get the cover, but largely because of those. Brees, by the way, before he went out. Actually, after he went out, here's the thing. He got hurt and stayed in the game for the rest of the first half.
Yeah.
So I can't really say before he got hurt. Brees was 8 of 13 in the end for 76 yards, 1 touchdown, no picks. He was not sacked. But the play on which he was hurt, he absorbed a big hit that led to a personal foul penalty on Kentavious Street with 8 minutes, 20 seconds remaining in the second quarter. Brees has missed only 6 games because of injury in his 20-year NFL career, 5 of them in 2019 because of a torn thumb ligament, people will remember. I didn't even think that was a personal foul. I thought that was an awful call.
I thought that was a terrible call.
Yeah.
Terrible call.
But apparently,
the guy did everything he could to not rough the passer and got called for it. That horrible call.
He got flagged for playing football, Chris. Flagged for playing football. Jameis came in. He was 6 of 10 for 63. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. It was all Alvin Kamara on offense. 8 of 15 on the ground for 2 touchdowns. 7 of 83 through the air. Receiving, that is, for a touchdown as well. 3 touchdowns for Kamara. But the Saints were 1 of 10 on third down. They were 1 of 1 on fourth. They only had 237 total yards, but plus 2 in turnovers. And that's the ball game right there, the turnovers. Held the Niners to 49 yards rushing. So if it's Brees, I would say it's close to a touchdown. I would say minus 6. If it's not Brees, it'll be significantly lower than that, probably a field goal. But you said there's no line, so I don't know.
Well, I saw some look-ahead lines where we're looking like about 6.5, 7.
Yeah.
You know, with Brees healthy. I personally like a lower. I'm thinking like a 5 myself. I think Atlanta's really playing well. Raheem Morris, you know, I don't think he was very good as a Tampa coach. He had his moments where he was, but, you know, maybe he learned some things in the, you know, the years in between, because he's got this team playing really well. And Atlanta was one of those teams out, you know, they have talent, and there was just something missing, and maybe Morris is hitting the right buttons, but they're playing well. So, I mean, to me, like I said, I have a number of 5. And while we're on the subject, because I think people are putting home field advantage, I got a few quotes in here that I want to make, and I want to credit them properly. Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network said, straight up, going into this weekend, home teams were 65-67-1, straight up. Now, they were 7-4-2, they were 11-2 yesterday. But they were favored in 9 games. So that's going to skew things a little bit. But even including yesterday's play, 76-69-1. This is straight up winners.
Yeah.
According to Dave Tooley, you know, from VSiN, going into this weekend, home teams were 61-70-2 against the spread, and including yesterday, 68-74-4. So I think, you know, people that are adding home field advantage, it's a mistake.
There is
now one more from
field.
A VSiN guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is from Jeff Fogel. And he posted this, I believe, on Friday. Jeff Fogel, VSiN guy, great follow on Twitter. This is quoting Jeff. Indy's win at Tennessee last night pushed the full season scoreboard differential to plus 19 for visitors through 134 games. Counting OT games is zero to keep everything at 60 minutes. Home field advantage, it puts that in quotes, right now is minus 0.14 points per game. Median result is still a zero, and that's which would be an OT game.
That was probably
so that's quoting Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that was probably predictable. We've seen home field, you know, without the fans and other sports act the same way.
Well, it was predictable in the sense when whatever outfit put out the whole grid of games, all 256 is it NFL games and the lines way back when in the middle of the spring, when you did the crunching of the numbers, it was only 1.5 even then. And that was already sort of allowing for the fact that it might be nothing. Now what Chrissy's saying is it's nothing at all. Come back, Chrissy, because I don't know if you finished your thought. We'll finish the thought on that. Coming back, guessing lines right here. Week 11 on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Tonight's game is between the Bears and the Vikings. Bears, 3-point home dogs.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I will too. Yeah, it feels Bears-ish to me. Certainly the Bears feel like a good teaser leg as well.
Yep.
You can stop Dalvin Cook, which the Bears appear to be built to do. Beat us, Kirk Cousins.
In prime time.
Yeah. A lot of people throwing around the Kirk Cousins primetime stat or Monday Night Football stat where he's 0-9. Yeah, I think it sets up nicely for the Bears. Let's do a little tweets here. We get tweets at Beating the Book real quick. Fadi Bahura, no better way to start work Monday morning. Thank you, Gil and Chris. Thank you for listening. Great Monday morning tradition. Tim Johnson, I think the players were just ready to get the game over with in Cleveland yesterday, especially after the weather they had to deal with. If Chubb scores, that game probably takes another 5 to 10 minutes. You know what, Tim? You might be right. Even though they're saying that was their plan, maybe that was behind their plan, too. A little bit of that. Let's get out of here. Nemesis Enforcer, maybe it's a Georgia thing. Chubb and Gurley not scoring in the wrong moment. When players and analytics collide, you're telling me. All right, Chrissy, did you finish the home field advantage thought? Because I think it's a great one.
Oh, I just want to throw in one more thing. Ed Fang, who really smart guy. I think he's been on VSiN a couple of times.
Oh, sure.
I've done his podcast. Yeah, real smart guy. Coming into this year, and I don't know how long it was. If it was just last year, you know, was a couple years involved. He said home field advantage was worth 1.7 points. So this standard 3 that we're giving is just too much. And like I said, this year I'm making my numbers with no home field advantage. Certain cases you give it to. Like I said, I like the Seahawks with a little home field advantage this week on a short week. And I think that means a little something. But ordinarily, I think home field essentially means nothing.
All right, let's move on Sunday morning.
Okay, this one, there's no numbers whatsoever. It's Detroit and Carolina. We've got question marks with both quarterbacks, both starting quarterbacks. Although, from what I hear, both are pretty likely to play, but no numbers whatsoever that I see.
Yeah, I have in my notes, I have Bridgewater hurt? Question mark. I wasn't even sure myself at the end of that game. Carolina, it's Detroit at Carolina. Let's start with the visiting Detroit Lions. Detroit gives up a 21-point lead to Washington, only to win it on a 59-yarder with no time left, thanks in part and in big part to a Chase Young horrific roughing the passer on Stafford well after the whistle. Just brutal. And Prater sinks the 59-yarder to beat the Washington football team. Stafford was 24 of 33 for 276, 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. DeAndre Swift. The coming out party of DeAndre Swift, seemingly more and more every week. 16 carries for 81 yards, 5 catches for 68 and a touchdown. Marvin Jones, 8 for 96 and a touchdown. And Carolina, they lose to Tampa Bay. Played with the Bucs for a half of this game, and then the Bucs just ran away with it. And I do mean run. Ronald Jones the second with a 98-yarder to the house. The big play, Bridgewater yesterday, 18 of 24 for 136. Think about that, 18 for 136. Two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked once. DJ Moore, 4 for 96 and a touchdown. But they were 1 of 9 on third down. They only had 187 total yards. Defense set them up at least once in that ball game. They were out first down by the Bucs 30-13. They were out gained 544-187. I don't think I remember a bigger difference in yards in a game this year.
Almost 400 yards.
Jeez. 210-65 on the ground. Yeah, that's ridiculous, right? Time of possession, 36:05 to 23:55. So there's no line. If they're both playing, I would think Carolina is a favorite, and I would say Carolina a little bit more in the field goal. I'd say Carolina -4 if they do.
I got Carolina -3 if they do. That's my number. Again, no home field advantage, yeah. No anything.
And McCaffrey might play too, right?
Yeah, I was looking at Tampa. Oh, where am I at? New Orleans. Excuse me. I'm just going off on a little bit of a tangent. Yeah, I'm looking here. New Orleans the week before. Oh, okay, Tampa the week before. I'm sorry. Tampa. I mean, such an aberration for how poorly they played, you know, and then had a fantastic game yesterday. Really played unbelievably well. So it just shows you how crazy this NFL is from week to week. So, yeah, because I thought Tampa looked great yesterday and looked absolutely horrible the week before. So, you know, but Carolina, I thought, played okay. And I would have them 3 over Detroit if both quarterbacks are healthy.
Let's do another one. Let's think another one here before the break.
New England at Houston.
New England at Houston. New England with the outright winner last night in the monsoon in Foxborough.
Yeah.
Go back to my college days in Boston. I'm like, why would people live in this weather? It's horrific. I love you, Boston, though. It's a great place to go to school. It was just a monsoon. New England gets it done. Beats Baltimore 23-17. Does so as 6.5-point closing dogs there. Consensus. Cam was 13 of 17 for 118. Touchdown, no picks. He was sacked once. Jacoby Myers, the law firm of Jacoby Myers for all your personal injury needs. 1 of 1 as a passer for 24 yards and a touchdown. He also caught 5 for 59. Damien Harris, 22 for 121 on the ground. That was the key. New England's 4-5. Good for Bill Belichick and the Patriots. They're at Houston. Houston, as we mentioned, loses in bad weather to Cleveland. Deshaun was 20 of 30 for 163, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. He takes a lot of sacks. Twice in this one. 243 total yards was all Houston can muster. I'll say New England -2.5 at Houston.
Gilly. That's exactly my number, New England 2.5. Fortunately or unfortunately, that's not the number I see out there. So once again, I like your number better. I see it anywhere from pick to the Texans as much as a 1.5-point favorite. Again, I'm going to open. Yeah, I know. Texans have just gone south. And Romeo Crennel, by all accounts, a wonderful, wonderful human being. But he's not doing a great job coaching this team. And I heard they're even thinking about keeping him for next year. I don't know about that. Well, probably the same guy that traded DeAndre Hopkins is making that decision. So, but I made New England 2.5. That's what my numbers came to. And, again, I think people are putting in a home field advantage that should not exist. I'm going to open pick, again, just because I see it as high as Houston 1.5. So I expect them to bet Houston on me, which is just fine.
Wow. So Cleveland-Houston was the one that I thought was the most perplexing last week. And if Chubb doesn't go out of bounds, that one works. And here is New England-Houston. So clearly it's the Texans that me and the market just don't see eye to eye on. Like, I just don't get it with the Texans. What am I missing? Anything?
Nothing. The Patriots are going to win that game.
There it is. You don't even have to watch. We'll come back. More guessing lines. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's get through a couple more of these games here on Sunday.
Okay, listen, before we go further, I don't know if people are listening to our show or cooler heads are prevailing, but the Patriots are going to the favorite right now.
Okay. Okay.
There goes my team.
Well, if you even see pick 'em, I would say bet it now because New England is going to the favorite. They're going to the favorite.
Okay.
So I'm going to certainly open 1, and if I see a 1.5, I'm opening that. Because even the pick'ems are starting to disappear right now.
Well, we would love to think that's based on our discussion here before the break. but I'm saying that it doesn't. Like, how does it even come out the other way? That's nuts to me. Like, I just don't understand what the deal is with the Texans. I thought it was a mispriced number last week against yesterday against the Browns.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's a pick 'em. So again, you can't bet the Patriots on a tease, on a perfect tease anymore, if you could at 1.5 or whatever it was on the Texans in some spots. But man, that would have been sweet. Here's a Joe Pita. Is this a Joe Pita tweet you want to just throw up real quick about the how incredible is Bernard Langer making the cut at the 2020 Masters? Langer has competed in a major against Gene Sarazen, born 1902, and Abel Gallegos, born 2002, opponents born 100 years apart. Sarazen played his last major at the 76 Open Championship. Langer's first, yeah. Bernard Langer, good for him. Getting it done, making the cut, the oldest player to ever make a cut at Augusta. All right. Cooler heads prevailing, as you're saying, on New England at Houston, because that one made no sense to me. What's next?
Yeah, the board's lighting up. Anyway, let's move on. Steelers at the Jaguars.
We're drunk with power right now, Chrissy, aren't we? Steelers are 9-0. Boy, Cincinnati was the squarest of square dogs yesterday. Felt like I didn't know one person. I said on Primetime Action Friday night, I go, you know what scares me about this game? I don't know one person who likes the Steelers against the number. And that's assuming Big Ben came back, and he did. Got the negatives he needed after being on the COVID-19 reserve list from tracing. Big Ben yesterday against the Bengals in the Steelers' 36-10 win as 6.5-point favorites. He was 27 of 46 for 333, 4 touchdowns, no picks, no sacks. Johnson, 6 for 116. That's Deontay, 6 for 116 for a touchdown. Juju, 9 for 77 in a touchdown. Claypool, 4 for 56, 2 touchdowns. Steelers only needed 44 rushing yards, but they were plus 2 in turnovers. That helps. And they're at Jacksonville. Jacksonville gave all of us who had Packers and Survivor a big scare. Yeah. Jake Luton, 18 for 35, 169, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He was sacked 3 times. James Robinson, again, filling up the stat sheet, 23 for 109. Only 260 total yards of offense for Jacksonville. They were helped by a Keelan Cole 91-yard punt return for a touchdown yesterday. I'll say Pittsburgh. Wow, I mean, this is going to be a big survivor pick for anybody who has Pittsburgh left. Pittsburgh minus, you know, again, home field doesn't mean anything, but I get a feeling in these lines they're in somehow incorporated. So I'll say it's only, in quotes, Pittsburgh minus 10.
Yeah, it's only 10. It was a little later in the day. I'm sure a couple guys would have the drinking game going. Diminishing returns.
Yeah.
My power ratings come to 16 on this game because I think the Jaguars are probably as bad as we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year. And Luton, he played okay. I mean, for a guy that didn't get drafted, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, I think just Green Bay was just not into that game yesterday. They were just, you know, walking through it. But anyway, Mike, power rates come to 16. I see it pretty much a universal 10. You know, I think that's actually okay because, you know, I know Pittsburgh could sleepwalk through some of these games too, just like Green Bay did yesterday. And that's probably what I would expect them to do this Sunday. You know, they got big games coming up, including the following week against the Ravens. So they're not going to show everything. So 10, I think, is a fine number, even though my numbers come a lot higher.
Chris, yeah. I have a question for you. Why do you think Big Ben is not getting any conversation in the MVP race? It has nothing to do with my large future on Ben Roethlisberger to win the MVP. I'm just curious.
Jason's asking questions through his bets.
I think he's starting to now, you know, because everybody, like 2-3 weeks ago, we just had Russell Wilson as the, like, probably like a 1-5 favorite. You know, I mean, everybody just assumed he was going to get it. But now it's opened way up. And I think people are opening their eyes to, you know, I mean, Ben needs weapons, but so does every quarterback. You know, I mean, look what Mahomes has at KC. Listen, he's got some weapons back that they didn't have at all last year in the brief time that he played. I think he'll be in the conversation from here on. So anyway, Jason, let me see what I could do to enhance your position here. I'd love to see
Well, we're increasing him being in the conversation by having the conversation. So,
Yeah.
There
is that what you're doing?
Well, we influenced the Patriot line.
We did.
You know, universally.
Quickly.
Maybe we could do something with Big Ben.
That's
so here you go.
I will say with the MVP race, though, Patrick Mahomes is LeBron, right? Like, I think we'll get to the point with Patrick Mahomes where you could give it to him every year. With LeBron, that's certainly the thing, and they just decide, well, we'll give it to this guy this year, we'll give it to that guy. But he's always in the conversation. You can always make a case for him. I don't think Mahomes has enough in his on his bookcase yet to be there, but I think we'll get there with him. But this feels to me, now that Russell Wilson has sort of abdicated, you know, the throne here, the leader in the clubhouse, if I can mix all kinds of metaphors, I kind of think it's Mahomes. Who's next? Kyler Murray in the conversation before Big Ben?
He's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not going to win their division, probably. And they might. They're not going to have as good of a season as the Steelers are, likely, or the Chiefs.
Kyler Murray, they're 6-3. They're tied for the top of the division. Yeah. You never know.
We'll see.
Rodgers is in the conversation for sure.
Oh, yeah. Rodgers quietly doing his
Absolutely.
Thing. Yeah. He's totally
Brady
wrong.
Might get a little bit. Brady might get some acknowledgement. You know, you never know.
So it's wide open.
Still a lot of football play.
Yeah, if you throw out games against New Orleans, what is it, a game against New Orleans?
Yeah.
Tom Brady, 21 touchdowns and 2 picks. That's pretty. I'm told that's good.
It's impressive.
43 years old or 33 years old?
Yeah.
39 ain't 29. Remember Shaq said that. 43 doing pretty good. We probably shouldn't squeeze in one. Well, let's see. What's the next game here, Chris?
Good one. Green Bay at Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, we don't have enough time to do this. But it is 7-2 Green Bay against 6-3 Indianapolis. Rodgers in that game against Jacksonville, 24 of 34 for 325, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked once. Marquez Valdez-Scantling was his big target, 4 for 149 and a touchdown, big 78-yard touchdown in that game against Jacksonville yesterday. And Green Bay's 24-20 win, not even coming close to covering the 14 points. And like I said, for survivor players like myself who had them, sweat. And then there's Indianapolis. They'll be on extra rest. Remember, they doubled up Tennessee on Thursday night, where Phillip Rivers was 29 of 39 for 308, 1 touchdown, no picks. He was sacked once. Nyheim Hines, 2 touchdowns, 1 on the ground, 1 through the air, 430 total yards of offense in that strange game Thursday night where Indianapolis, it was, felt like Tennessee just stopped playing in the second half. And we went through the whole dissertation Friday about how Phillip Rivers won't sneak the football, and yet they still won it that way. I'll say Indianapolis, but not quite by 3, by 2.5. We'll get Chrissy's response next. Guessing Lines, Week 11, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hour number 2 of A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo's League and Game Plus. It is Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn is here as well, asking questions through the prism of his bets, just to try to manifest Big Ben to MVP. I don't know if it's going to happen, but not terrible. By the way,
I just think he should be in the conversation. That's all.
All right.
I mean, his team's undefeated.
9-0. You think they can get there?
Just have him in the conversation. I don't think they'll be undefeated.
Okay, but if he goes 16-0, that would help your cause, right?
For sure.
So that's what you should be rooting for.
Okay, I'm rooting for that.
Okay, that's your in. That's your in. We've identified your in. It's all about guessing lines for week 11 and trying to extract value from the exercise of guessing lines. Chris Andrews and I, Chrissy, my mishpucha, we've already decided that we moved the New England-Houston line moments ago. That's what we're going with. Chris, Green Bay at Indianapolis is an early game still Sunday?
No, that got moved to the afternoon.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It's in the early rotation, got moved to the afternoon.
Yeah, because that's a game between division leaders right there. Indianapolis, a co-leader with Tennessee in the AFC South. I'll say, given the backdrop of what I just mentioned before the break, I'll say Indianapolis minus 2.5.
You're a shade high. It's 1.5 and 2. My numbers still come to Green Bay 1. Listen, Indianapolis is playing much better in the last couple of weeks, but I still have my questions about them as a team and Rivers specifically. I quoted Hembo before talking about Wentz having 6 games under 50 for a QBR. That's, you know, tops in the league. But, Drew Locke, we'll get to him in a little bit from Denver a second. But there's a bunch with 4, and Rivers is among them. I mean, he plays really well, and he had a great game. I thought he and the team looked fantastic Thursday night. But I'm not letting one game, you know, get a hold of me that much. They are playing better as a team, but I still think I like Green Bay to go in there and win this game. I make them a very slight favorite. I make them 1. I see a 1.5 and 2. I think I'll open at 1.5. Yeah, they might bet me the Colts. If I see a drop in them, I'm going to drop because I think Green Bay should be a very, very slight favorite in this game.
Yeah, and I went through it Friday. Eight circumstances against the Titans where Phillip Rivers could have snuck the football. They chose not to do it. The eighth time was a pinch sneak from Jacoby Brissett. So it was sort of like Phillip Rivers finally coming out and saying, yeah, I don't do this. And maybe it's in my contract. I'm just not letting you guys know. But I just think that that is a competitive disadvantage. It was for the Chargers all those years. It is for the Colts in those moments. Those are high leverage situations. For those wondering, why do you keep harping on the sneak thing? Because those are high leverage situations in football games. And when you have money on these, it's the equivalent, again, of runners in scoring position in baseball. It's as if when runners are on second and third, a batter goes, yeah, I can't do this. You're going to have to sub me out right here. Somebody else got to come in and do this for me. It's just, it's the weirdest thing. And it was, and not enough has been made of it throughout his career, and it's rearing its head. And I think it will rear its head in a very key situation for the Colts moving forward. Just file that away. So you've got it as Colts -1.5. Is that what you said?
I'm an open one. Gil, my question,
yes.
And somebody brought this up on Twitter. I can't remember what. How did Tennessee not know that was going to be a sneak when they brought it in, when they brought in Jacoby Brissett? I didn't even realize he was in there, but I mean, a coach is supposed to understand that, you know. Jeez.
Yeah. You would have thought.
Talk about telegraphing. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're halfway through. What's next?
Cincinnati at your Washington football team.
Washington, still alive in the NFC East. Despite their loss to Detroit yesterday, and Cincinnati again got housed by the Steelers. Cincinnati's 2-6-1. Washington is 2-7. So Washington is what? That makes them a game and a half back in the NFC East. Is that what it comes out to? Yeah, game and a half back.
I messes everything up.
Yeah. Joe Burrow yesterday, 21 of 40 against the Steelers. For 213, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked four times. T. Higgins is his dude, though. That's his target. 7 for 115 and a touchdown. The Bengals were 0 for 13 on third downs. 2 for 3 on fourth. 2 for 3 on fourth. They were -2 in turnovers, were the Bengals. They're 0-17-1 in their last 18 road games. They're 4-20-1 under Zach Taylor. Should I stop? Because I could go on and on all day with these. But by the way, they're ridiculous on fourth downs this year, like 14 of 16. It's Gil Alexander. It's Chrissy Andrews. This is a numbers game right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. SiriusXM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app. Fubo slinging game plus. But Cincinnati 0 for 13 on third downs against the Steelers yesterday. And then there's Washington. Alex Smith, 38 for 55 and 390. No touchdowns, no picks, sacked twice. Now, I said this before the season even started. I said if Alex Smith takes even one snap and throws one forward pass, and I said I don't care if he throws it into the dirt, he's your comeback player of the year. Well, barring a Kirk Cousins or Nick Foles explosion tonight, he will have thrown for the most yards in the NFL this weekend. 390. He is your comeback player of the year. End of the discussion.
I wonder what the odds were on him leading the week in passing.
Oh, man. I'm terrified every time he backs up to pass.
You are not alone.
Yeah. It's just not fun to watch. Terry McLaurin always fills up a stat sheet, 7 for 95. Antonio Gibson with 2 fourth-quarter touchdowns. 464 total yards for Washington. Again, they made up a 21-point deficit in this game, only to lose at the end on a Matt Prater 59-yarder to win it after Washington tied it up at 24 apiece. Three plays was all it took to get to Prater's 59-yard attempt, largely because of Chase Young's horrific roughing the passer penalty. I'll take Chase Young every day, but, man, that was bad. Cincinnati at Washington, real barn burner. Washington, I mean, I'll split the difference between a pick'em and a three, and I'll just say 1.5 to be lazy.
It's 1 or 1.5. I like Washington 1 a little better. Matter of fact, my numbers have Cincy a very, very slight favorite. I'm not sure that's actually correct. A couple things that really probably should have alerted us before the game in the Cincinnati game. Mike Tomlin, and I didn't hear this till after the game, but he said, you know, we wanted to introduce Joe Burrow, I'm paraphrasing, that we wanted to introduce Joe Burrow to the Pittsburgh Steelers and show him what he has to look forward to twice a year for the rest of his career.
That's great.
So that team was a little focused, I would say, you know.
But, you know, Alex Smith played fantastic. But, Jason, what's wrong with Ben Roethlisberger comeback player of the year? You know, he's got to be in that conversation, too, I guess. No. But it'll go to Alex Smith. Yeah. It'll go to Smith.
Poor guy. I don't have a bet on Ben Roethlisberger.
Have you seen the E60 on Alex Smith, Chris?
I did. Oh, it's hard to watch.
It's hard to watch. But it's just why he's even playing, I have no idea.
Yeah. I think I'd have packed her up if I were him. He's made plenty of money.
Plenty.
And
wife and kids, pack it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like a really good guy.
Totally.
You know.
Great. You know, he had nothing to prove. Ended up having a very good career. People thought he was a bust. Yeah. He ended up having a really good career. Got Kaepernicked in San Francisco. Played well. And then, you know, got Mahomes'd in Kansas City.
Had a couple playoff wins with San Francisco, if I remember correctly, like before Kaepernick. Like
Had that great game against New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I wish him the best. Certainly do. Just
Gil, by the way.
Yes.
Before we let our influence in the market go to our heads, well, at least for me personally.
Yes.
The Colts are going to like a 2.5 and 3 point favorite as we speak.
I had 2.5.
Money showing on the Colts.
My head's just getting bigger.
I had Green Bay won, so maybe it's me that my head's too big, which I guess it is too big if you ever saw it. So I'm going to open a little higher. I'm going to see what the market settles at. But probably I'm looking at 2.5 because, like I said, there are some threes around.
By the way, Chrissy, you're feeling better, yes? You sound like you're feeling much better.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've been negative for quite a while, but we had some other issues we had to clear up. So, you know.
Okay. Good.
All right. One more?
Yeah. We got plenty more. What's next?
Tennessee at Baltimore.
Well, that's good, too. So Tennessee in a co-lead for the AFC South division, 6-3. Baltimore now 6-3. Ryan Tannehill in that game this past Thursday night was only 15 of 27 for 147. One touchdown, no picks. He was sacked once. Derrick Henry was 19 for 103. Last night, Baltimore in the monsoon against the Patriots. And again, they lose it outright. That got all of three survivors out of three. 310 went down to 301 in circa. As I mentioned, six on the Eagles, three on the Ravens. Jackson, Lamar, was 24 for 34 yesterday for 249, two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked twice, 11 carries for 55 yards. Now, here's the thing. There's an epidemic of bad spotting of footballs, too. Can I just mention this? There was one really bad spot late in this game for New England. First of all, Baltimore got screwed a couple times. One on the bad spot, but one that Judon penalty on defense was so ticky-tack, kept the drive going for New England. But the spotting thing, like, this is an epidemic. Did you see Miami, Virginia Tech on Saturday? There was at least three occasions, twice for the Canes, one for the Hokies, where 9 yards were gained, or it was just 1 yard shy of the marker two gain, and the refs just casually like, yeah, my first down. And they move the chains, and I'm just like, is anybody going to complain about this over and over and over again? Like, people are betting on this stuff. Stop it. If it's 9 yards, it's 9 yards.
They should be able to integrate technology into the spotting and make it a lot more seamless.
It's like Todd Wishnev's old, what he called the zigzag diagonal spotting of referees. Anyway, there's one of these in this game, too. It was a total monsoon. By the end of that game, it really looked like Baltimore just wanted to get the heck out of there. But Baltimore is facing Tennessee. Tennessee with a little bit of extra rest. This is a tough one to make. Because I think if I make it, if it's Baltimore 3 or 4, everybody will bet Baltimore. If it's Baltimore 6 or 7, everybody will bet the Titans. So I'll just put it in no man's land at 5.5 and let the hate wash over me. What is this one going to be?
Well, I kind of like your number better once again. I see 6 and 6.5. My numbers came to 4.5. Neither team is playing that great right now. A month ago, this would have been a much better game. But like I said, both teams, I think, have hit the skids a little bit. I thought 4.5, you know, at first glance looked a little cheap, and maybe it is. But 6, 6.5 looks a little too high. But I'm going to open 6 just because there's higher numbers out there. And if they want to bet me Baltimore, I'm going to make them lay me to 6, which I think probably a lot of guys will.
Interesting. This is a rematch, of course, of the big playoff game last year where the Titans upset the Ravens. You give me 6 or 7, I may take all those points. I'll take those points. And let, you know, if you beat me, you beat me. Tip of the cap. Interesting. Is that an afternoon game also? These are afternoon games now?
That's still morning. Now we go to the afternoon.
Okay.
Now we go to the afternoon. By the way, the point spread mattered in four games yesterday.
So yes.
High number for that.
Well, it ended up mattering in Houston, Cleveland, because you know why.
Well, you know, it still mattered. What can I tell you?
Yeah. It ended up mattering in Arizona, Buffalo, because you know why.
Yep.
You know, so those are two right there.
Football.
That's football. Well, it's football, but now, see, I would add there's this extra layer again of coaches in some cases being more heady than they used to be. So in some cases, I applaud it. Like, again, the Kingsbury thing, assuming he knew what he was doing there. Way to go. Yeah. Using your head. And in the case of Chubb, I'm just sort of like, right, do we really know what we're doing? I mean, I get it. Goes to 100% from 99.9, but okay. And then, you know, the Eagles thing with the Giants. This is why I know this is all like, I can't trust any of it. The fact that Doug Peterson will go for two sometimes correctly, and sometimes it's just like, what are you doing now, Doug Peterson? Like, why? Who told you this was the right play? But I guess they know. I guess they've figured it out that it's, for them, it's the smart play. Okay. Not to disparage your four times the spread matter thing, but yeah, those were two quirky endings, but it's football. And I would add that it's harder and harder every week in the NFL with stuff like that. What's next?
Maybe they were watching the Queen's Gambit and they're trying to play chess against them.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that. It's funny you mention that. By the way, I thought the Queen's Gambit fell off the rails like the last couple episodes. I thought it was really good for the first five, and then the last couple, I was like, that wasn't that great. Parlay, producer number five, texted me last night about the Baltimore-New England game. And he said, am I crazy, or should New England have gone, or no, should Baltimore have gone for two when they went for one at one point? I was like, what's your thinking there? He goes, well, because then if New England kicks a field goal, they'll only be down eight as opposed to nine. I can't remember the situation. And I said to him exactly what you just said with the Queen's Gambit, which for those who don't know, is this series or this dramatic episodic series on Netflix. And it's rooted in chess. It's fictional, but it's rooted in the sport of chess. And I said to Jeff, I go, you're playing chess. They're playing checkers because you're already thinking two steps ahead. And I don't think these guys are thinking that. So, yeah, once we start doing that, once we start, you know, oh, if I do two here and then they do three there. Oh, my God, we're going to drive ourselves crazy. Not that he was wrong, but I don't think they're thinking on that level. All right, what's next?
Okay, Dallas at Minnesota. And I see some sporadic numbers. I'm not sure if they're old ones or new ones. And my assumption at this point is that Andy Dalton will be playing. Right now they got him questionable, but I think it's likely that he plays this Sunday.
Well, we haven't seen Minnesota. They play the Bears tonight again.
They play tonight. Yeah. This is going to be a hard one to make.
Yeah, this will be really hard to make. Because if Minnesota crushes the Bears, this could be pretty high.
It's a short week for Minnesota, though, and Cowboys are on bye week.
But I could see if the Bears crush Minnesota, I mean, this is not going to be, you know, this will be muted. Anywhere between, I can't make this line. This is difficult. I'll say, just to throw it out there, I'll say Minnesota minus 4.5, but that's just me hedging both ways.
Well, I think you're way light.
Yeah.
It's anywhere between 7.5 and 9.
Oh, wait a minute. Really?
Yeah. I got Minnesota. My numbers come a lot higher than that, I hate to tell you. I got Minnesota playing really good football right now, and I think poised to make a run. And I know you guys like the Bears tonight. I don't. I definitely do not. I like Minnesota tonight. And like I said, I think this team is poised to make a run. And if they look good tonight, I think it's going to be, I think you might be looking at double digits.
Wow. Now, I'm not. What do I
know?
Don't get me wrong. I'm not racing to bet the Dallas Cowboys in any situation, but I don't think Minnesota should be favorites like that over anybody. But we'll see tonight. We'll see how they play. Could change my mind.
How many games has Dallas covered this year? How many games?
Would that be zero?
One game.
They have one.
Okay. Recently, they covered the Steelers. That was their first game.
1-8 ATS.
Yeah. After being 0-8.
Yeah. So you're saying that's not good, Chris. Is that what I'm getting from you?
Andy Dalton didn't cover that game. It was Garrett, the other guy covered the game. I forget his name. The
Prescott?
Yeah. No.
You're talking about Garrett Gilbert.
Yeah, he was the guy who...
The great Garrett Gilbert.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He's their best-looking quarterback so far this year.
Well, you know why I remember that? Because I had Pittsburgh and Survivor then, too. Every Survivor week is a sweat. Everything. And now the gauntlet begins. Good Lord. How are you going to play your four picks, your four entries, Chris? Are you going to break them up now?
I don't know what we're going to do this week because we got to save some powder for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
So that's a whole separate week. Yeah. That's going to be tough. I'm looking at those games. That's going to be tough.
Oh, like I
said. By the way, interesting note on Garrett Gilbert.
Yes.
When he was at Texas, Andrew Luck wanted to go to Texas, but they didn't want Andrew Luck because they were committed to Garrett Gilbert.
Well, he was the guy. Garrett Gilbert was the guy. If you remember when Colt McCoy had weak arm against Alabama, do you remember when his arm just went dead? That was Garrett Gilbert who came in the game.
He's been around for that long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That's all I. That's. Yeah. When last we heard from Garrett Gilbert, he was playing in the national championship kind of thing.
Well, he was in that short-lived football league last year playing on Spurrier's team.
And he was quite good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, I wish I had known that before I had bet on the Steelers.
I don't know how I feel about that Minnesota-Dallas line, but we'll just wait to see what happens tonight, see where that comes out.
Yeah, I'm not putting anything up there. That's way too out there. Okay, next up, another really good game. Chiefs at the Raiders.
Chiefs at the Raiders. Chiefs.
Oh, that's the Sunday night game. You want to do that last?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that second to last in its proper
order. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So next up, time wise, Miami at Denver.
Miami wins again. Push at worst on their season win total. For those of us who have Miami over six, looking good. It's a free roll from here.
7-2 against the spread, Miami Dolphins.
Best start since 2001 at 6-3. Tua, 15 of 25 for 168, two touchdowns, no picks, and wasn't sacked. Salvon Ahmed, 21 for 86 and a touchdown, 281 total yards for the Dolphins. A blocked punt for the Dolphins set up their first score, first and goal at the one. Three straight weeks in which the defense has either scored or set up a short field score, including, I think, 2 weeks in a row now from the one on short fields. So helped out once again by the defense and the special teams in this case. And then there's Denver. Denver gets destroyed yesterday by the Raiders, 37-12, as 4.5-point dogs. There was no comeback from the Broncos this time to make it cosmetically acceptable, or at least look acceptable. Drew Lock, 23 of 48 for 257, one touchdown and a career-high four picks, sacked twice. The Broncos were -5 in turnovers. That's all you need to know. And four of those were Lock picks. Miami will be favorites. They will be favorites by more than a field goal. I'll say Miami -4.
I like your number way better. I hate to tell you my, but by the way, number's like 2.5 juice on the favorite, 3 juice on the dog.
Wow.
You know, we went through this last week. You know, every wise guy in town, and I'm not kidding, every one of them had the Chargers against Miami yesterday. And we said it on this show, and I know I said, as you have one team that finds a way to lose every week and another team that finds a way to win every week.
Yeah.
And I had, not that I was that great, I was 2-2 on the picks that I gave last Monday. But Miami was one of them. I like Miami. I also liked Denver yesterday, too, getting points. But that was another game. Every wise guy in town had Denver. Every one of them had Denver. We had, we need to say, we had them on both our picks, you know, that I got outvoted. But, you know, Drew Lock is not a good quarterback. Fangio is not a good head coach. I like this number a lot higher. My power ratings come a lot higher. So I will open this 3. They'll take it. They could have it. But I plan on going in needing Miami in this game because they're much better, much, much better than Denver.
Yeah, I will happily take Miami at 3. And, again, tip of the cap if you beat me. Miami, of course, beating the Chargers by 8. Chargers kept it within one score, but Miami gets it done. 6-3. Season win total before the season was 6, and they are live for the division. Love that. Coming back, Guessing Lines, Week 11, continues right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Guessing Lines, Week 11, brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, from behind the desk here at the South Point Hotel Casino. Chrissy, where were we?
I don't know, but allow me to change the subject for a second.
Please, for God's sakes.
Thanks, Chrissy.
Yes.
Okay. back to Miami and Denver. I talked about Hembo earlier in the show. He had the list of guys who had QBRs under 50. Wentz had the most, 6. Locke is second.
Jeez.
I mean, I don't know. I've been waiting for this guy to show something. Maybe it's Fangio, who I don't like as a coach. And on the other side, Brian Flores. What a fantastic coach this guy has turned out to be.
Yep.
I mean, between him and Mike Vrabel, finally we got two guys out of the Bill Belichick coaching tree that have shown to be very, very good coaches. And, you know, I was against the move to make Tua the starting quarterback, but now that I look at it, he made the right move, this guy.
He did.
He's incredible. And I'm telling you, this is a really well-coached team. They got some talent. You know, they're not there yet, but they're getting there, and they got the right guys in place. I mean, I'm very bullish on Miami futures, I can tell you that.
Well,
I don't mean futures for this year to win the Super Bowl, but there's a good team with a good coach and a good quarterback.
Again, I'll say it again from before the season, only three bets I made: under New England season wins, over Miami, and Dolphins to win the AFC East at plus 1150.
Yeah.
And they're,
yeah,
they're a half game back. This could happen. And the other thing I said off was Brian Flores to win coach of the year at 25-1 might be the best way to play the Dolphins. And that's looking pretty damn good right now, too.
Yeah. Dolphins were 6-1 to win the East a couple weeks ago, and I got them then.
They got a tough schedule. I mean, it's probably still not going to happen.
Yeah, they need a little help.
I mean, it is really an uphill battle. But just the fact that they're live here at this point is fun to talk about. All right.
Yeah, they're not there yet, but they're darn close. That's a good deal. I love them this week against Denver. I really do.
Yeah, I do too at that number, at three. My goodness. And Drew Lock, as you said, people in Denver will tell you he's not the answer for sure. All right.
Yeah, he's not getting it done.
Let's sneak one in.
Next up, Jets at the Chargers.
0-9 Jets, 2-7 Chargers. Has there ever been a team 0-9 that's that much worse than a 2-7 team? Because the Chargers, again, Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders, they're the most consistent team. Every week they show up. He's right. They don't win, though. Herbert, 20 of 32 yesterday in the loss to the Dolphins, 8-point loss for 187, two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked twice. He's the first rookie ever with 2-plus touchdown passes in six straight games, but the Chargers have allowed 29-plus points in six straight games, all seven losses this year by one score, 8 points or fewer, 273 total yards yesterday against the Dolphins. Chargers will be more than a touchdown favorite. They'll be -7.5, I'll say.
You're a little light. My power ratings come to 9, and I see this game anywhere between 8 and 9. I'm going to open 9, and I'm sure I'm going to have the Chargers in some of my survivor picks, but I just think looking on the sidelines and Anthony Lynn looking like, somebody please get me out of this.
It is really true.
Hopefully he can beat this team. Hopefully he can beat this Jets team.
Really, I mean, I guess we had Pittsburgh against the Jaguars. That was a higher number than this. But really is, can you trust the Chargers in survivor?
Oh,
the Jets are coming
up there.
Sorry, the Jets are coming off their best game of the season and a bye week.
Best game of their season and a bye week. Extra rest for the New York Jets, Chrissy.
Oh, my God. I know I'm going to have them. I know. I know. You know, you got to save some of the good teams. You can't use them all. You know, that's the nature of the game.
The survivor gauntlet begins this week, then Thanksgiving, then the following Sunday. 8-day span. Coming back, numbers game, VSiN, guessing line, some more for week 11, rather, next right here at VSiN. All right, let's do, by the way. Yes, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple minutes because we only have two games left.
Yeah, we got minutes.
Let me give you a little blurb. I've teased about this all year. My book that I'm writing, okay, was meant to be, and it is. It was a journal from one Super Bowl to the next, like a year in the life of a bookmaker. Well, needless to say, this year in the life of anybody is nowhere near what we thought it was going to be.
Wow.
So I've been sharing my stuff with Anthony Curtis and Deep Castleman, who is his editor, and so far they're loving it. I mean, think of all the stuff that's happened. You know, first of all, Kobe Bryant's death. Did we forget all about that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I started like with the championship games leading into the Super Bowl, and I was just going to keep a daily journal. You know, we had racial unrest, which unfortunately had to make it into the book. You couldn't just ignore it because it affected sports. I tried to keep it to anything that affected sports.
Yeah.
You know, strictly through the eyes of a bookmaker and the world of sports and betting and bookmaking.
That sounds fascinating.
And needless to say, this book went nowhere near where I thought it was going to go.
How could you have possibly known? Yeah.
like I said, when the Kobe Bryant thing happened, my first thought was, wow, you know, this was a huge curveball. We've almost forgotten about that. There's been so much that's happened since then, you know, with COVID and, like I said, racial unrest and just things going absolutely bonkers this year. I've kept a journal since last year, and I think this book's going to do fairly well.
Wait, any working title or not yet?
The working title was like A Bookmaker's Season. So, you know,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to stick with that or not. You know, okay. Like I said, the intention, what I planned on is nowhere near what I wound up with. So,
yeah. We all remember where we were when Kobe, yeah. when we got the first text or the first news yeah. of Kobe. Yeah.
And yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And then Chris, of course, getting COVID himself, you know, something yeah. else you couldn't anticipate.
In the book, Chrissy?
Pardon me?
Is you getting and dealing with it going to be in the book? I guess it's not really sports related.
Deals with me, yeah. yeah. So I'm going to have a little stuff. Fortunately, I didn't have that much to deal with. It wasn't as bad as it was for other people.
Wow.
But
well,
stuff will be in there. I think it's going to be an interesting book.
We look forward to that. Chrissy Anders, already the author of Then One Day, available at Amazon. We look forward to that book as well.
Then One Year.
Well, that's right. Call it Then One Year. We'll come back. We'll do the primetime games. Tell you what we like best here. Guessing Lines, Week 11. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Just to be clear, you like the Bears tonight. I will take the Bears in a teaser. I will not play them straight.
I already have the Bears in a teaser open still. So, yeah, that's going to be where I end up. I'm not sure about the +3, but I'm quite happy with the teaser position.
All right. Chris Anders, everybody. My mishpucha from the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook. Sunday night, Chrissy.
Sunday night. This great game. Kansas City at Las Vegas.
And the Raiders, the only team to have beaten the Chiefs this year. Chiefs 8-1. Coasting. I don't think this is all one big exhibition for the Chiefs to repeat. Can't help that feeling in my head. Derek Carr yesterday and the Raiders win over the Broncos. And again, it was 37-12. 16 for 25 for 154. No touchdowns, no picks, wasn't sacked. Just, you know, casual day at the office for Derek Carr. Josh Jacobs, 21 for 112, two touchdowns. As we mentioned with the Broncos game, the Raiders were +5 in turnovers. That's all you need to know. The Raiders had 5 total takeaways in their first 8 games, had 5 yesterday. Won the time of possession battle, 36-35 to 23-25. Kansas City coming off a bye. I'll say it's the Chiefs -6.5.
Well, you're right on. I made the game 6, so I have no beef with the 6.5. There was some 7s around earlier, but they're gone. I see a couple of 7s with juice on the dog. I think 7 would probably be a take for me in this game. But I think 6.5 kind of makes you pause and think a little bit. I think that's a really good place to start. So I have no beef at all with the 6.5. I think that's a good number for a great, great Sunday night game.
I'm proud of myself for hitting that one. Okay, Monday night.
The Rams at Tampa Bay.
Rams beat the Seahawks yesterday. They do so, again, perfect sort of setup for the Rams yesterday with the bye week. Sean McVay had 2 weeks to scheme up against his defense. They ended up winning by a touchdown, 23-16. Here's a stat for you. Sean McVay, 31-0 when he leads at halftime. How about that?
I saw that. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Here's one I even like better. The Rams defense this year has given up a max of 3 points in the second halves of 8 of their 9 games this year.
Feels like they are the most surprising unit of the year is the Rams defense.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they got Aaron Donald and they got Jalen Ramsey, and those are the anchors.
Yeah.
So if you have a dominant...
A too, I think, this year.
What's that?
They have a new coach this year.
But if you have a defensive player of the year guy on the front line who just creates havoc, and a guy like Jalen Ramsey will say, come here, DK Metcalf, yeah. I'm gonna ruin you today.
Those are good anchors.
Those are good anchors to have. But 3 points max in 8 of the 9 second halves thus far this year. I think it was only Buffalo who scored a touchdown on offense in the second half thus far this year. Jared Goff yesterday, 27 of 37 for 302. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. They were 9 of 15. The Rams were on 3rd downs, 1 of 1 on 4th. They were +2 in turnovers. Again, if you had access to the box score, no better you know, line item to know than turnovers, because you can figure out pretty much who won every game. Not every game, because there are exceptions, and we note them here on the show. But turnovers are bigger than anything. Of course, you can't predict them moving forward. That's the problem. And then Tampa Bay, as we mentioned, Tampa Bay crushes the Carolina Panthers yesterday, 46-23. This was a 17-17 game at the half. A 29-6 second half for the Bucs. And Tom Brady, 28 of 39 for 341, three touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. And as I mentioned earlier, versus teams other than the Saints, 21 touchdowns and two picks this year. Yesterday, he hit eight different receivers. Godwin, 6 for 92. Evans, 6 for 77 and a touchdown. Antonio Brown, 7 of 69. Gronk, 2 for 51 and a touchdown. On and on. And as I mentioned, Ronald Jones, the second, 23 for 192. A 98-yard touchdown scamper to the house. They were 10 of 16 on third down, where the Bucs 1 of 1 on fourth. And again, as I mentioned, probably the biggest yards difference in any game I remember this season, 544 to 187 versus the Panthers yesterday. So it's the 6-3 Rams, the 7-3 Bucks. I'll say the Bucks are favored, I'm going to guess 4.5, Chris.
You're way high.
Ooh.
It's 3.5. I see a couple 3.5s with juice on the dog. I see a couple 3s juice on the favorite. Matter of fact, it looks like the 3.5s are even disappearing as we speak. I made the game 1.
Bad guess.
I love this Rams defense. They are playing well. And Jared Goff, you know, I mean, he's not great, but he is pretty good. I think he's gotten some knocks, maybe undeserved. But this defense of the Rams, I just think is, you know, I don't know if they're the best in the league. I don't know. But we mentioned they got two anchors in there that, you know, make them a very formidable opponent.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to open 3, and they're going to, I'm sure they'll probably lay it to me. But I think this is going to be a really, really tight game. I think, you know, totals 47, 47.5. That's, you know, reasonable anymore. I think points will be at a premium. I think it's going to be a really tight game. And at 3.5, I think I would definitely like the Rams. So I'm going to open 3.
Okay.
Rams teaser leg.
Yeah, I think I saved my worst guess for last. But, yeah, I would agree with that. And, again, if the Rams D can do, right, if, you know, there is a snapshot in my head that sees Aaron Donald wreaking havoc on 43-year-old Tom Brady.
You got to make a move around, and the Rams D might be able to make a move around for sure.
Man, there's some good.
That's the key, and it's been the key for him for years. If you can get him off his spot, he's less effective. You know, he's not Mahomes. He's not even Roethlisberger if you get him off the spot. But they've protected him well his whole career in New England. When he's protected here at Tampa Bay, he's had some really good games. Will they be able to protect him against Aaron Donald? I'm not so sure. I think I like the Rams a little bit in this spot.
There's some good games, man. Rams, Bucks, 6-3 versus 7-3 on Monday night. I don't really hold the Raiders in that same, but at least on paper, 8-1 versus 6-3 on Sunday night, Kansas City at the Raiders. Green Bay at Indianapolis is a good game as well.
Andy Reid off a bye is a thing, right? That's Andy Reid.
Andy Reid off a bye is a thing.
Yeah, right.
Tennessee at Baltimore is a good-looking game on paper as well. And then that Thursday
night
game.
Thursday night?
Yeah. That started it all. Arizona at Seattle, who along with the Rams are 6-3. So when we look up and down, Chrissy, I'll give you honors here. What do you like the best if you put on your betting hat?
Miami. That would be my top pick. I like Miami. Like I said, love the coach, love the quarterback for Miami. The exact opposite for Denver. And don't like the coach. A quarterback, I'm not ready to quite sell out on him yet, but I think everybody in Denver is, you know. But I like Miami. That would be my best bet of the week.
For me, I think it's I also like Miami. I think it's New England. Again, that was the line that was the most perplexing, although you said right afterwards it sort of moved in our direction. What the market's fascination is with the Houston Texans, I will never understand. I guess 2.5. Chrissy said Houston was even favored in some spots, and now it's a pick'em, so it's moving our way. And then
it's definitely gone to 1. The pick'ems are gone.
Oh, the pick'ems are gone. So now it's New England -1.
Yeah.
Okay. It's coming our way.
That was my teaser.
Coming our way. Yeah, that made no sense. And feels good when you make a guess and you're like, what? And then it comes your way before the end of the show. And then the other one was Tennessee. I know you were saying a lot of people will take Baltimore here. But if you're giving me, you said north of 6 points on Tennessee against Baltimore, I'll take all those points.
Yeah, it's mostly 6.5. Mostly 6.5.
All right. So those,
I'm going to open six myself. So
those are the three I like the best. New England, Miami, and Tennessee at a glance. But that's the point of the exercise. The point of the exercise, like the old Stardust radio show, is to, within this conversation, try to extract value on the lines. And usually the first instinct is the best. And the rest of the week we mm-hmm. spend just talking ourselves out of it. And maybe yeah. sometimes we're dumb to do that. So in the end, then, we only have about a minute left. But with your four survivor, and I know you have partners to consult with. This is tough this week because... Yeah. We mentioned the Chargers will be a possibility. Chargers hosting the Jets. That's the second biggest line of the week. Do you trust Anthony Lynn and the Chargers? Pittsburgh's the biggest line at Jacksonville. So if you still have Pittsburgh, that's going to be a team that people use. Even though Jacksonville shows up for these games, New Orleans is tough because you don't know about Drew Brees right now. Kansas City on the road, if you still have them at the Raiders, I don't know.
That's a tough one.
This is a tough.
We've tried to go with home teams as much as possible. I can tell you that. You know,
even though home field has proven not.
I'm only one voice. Yeah, you know, I got a bunch of partners. You know?
Yeah,
this is the hardest week.
This week, Thanksgiving. Next week, it's the gauntlet. Yeah. Three really tough weeks, including Thanksgiving as its own week in Circa. And this will cut the finally, you know, it's 301. It only went from 310 to 301. That like three or four straight weeks now where it's barely dwindled. Now the having begins each and every one of these. Chrissy, can't thank you enough. Appreciate it, man.
My pleasure, my friend. My pleasure.
All right. We look forward to the book. Do you have a estimated date on this, or are you just saying someday, sometime?
Well, no. I mean, I'm not going to finish till we do the Super Bowl. Like I said, that was the book.
Okay.
From Super Bowl to Super Bowl. So, you know, it's just a journal of everything that's happened, which is quite a bit in this last year. Jason, by the way, then 1 year. I'm going to think about that. I kind of
yes.
like that.
Could you imagine Jason having that kind of impact? I like it. Then one year. Thank you, Chrissy. Good luck to all. Good luck with the Bears and the Vikings tonight. From all of us at VCE Sports Betting Network.